Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezvik. Intern Nick here with you as well on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe? Ugly loss for the Predators on Friday against the Buffalo Sabres. They fall 4-3 against Buffalo. It was an emotional night in Buffalo. Rick Jeanneret, their longtime play-by-play guy, basically having his version of a jersey retired. They had a ceremony in the pregame for him, rose a banner up to the rafters there for him, and he obviously is a very popular figure in Buffalo, meant a lot to the Buffalo Sabres, still does mean a lot to that organization. So there was some juice that Buffalo had coming out of the gate, and they got out to an early lead in that game. The Predators eventually, even though it was a weird game, kind of a weird first period, it was 3-3 after one on Friday for the Predators. And ultimately, Buffalo scores again in the third. They make it 4-3, and the Predators, honestly, they just never really threatened all that much in that game, and they lose on the road to Buffalo 4-3. And I said this after the game on Friday as well. I know that last week, on the whole, you get 4 out of 6 points. So certainly the results were okay last week, getting 4 out of 6 points. The way that they have played as of late, they have not been very good. For the last couple of weeks, they've looked like a pretty average at best hockey team. And now you're sitting here finding yourself in the standings with the weekend's action concluded. Vegas has now tied you in points. Dallas is 1 point behind you as well. With the good thing about the Stars is now you're at even on games played. So you're 1 point ahead of the Stars at this point. But you've lost your breathing room with them. And Vegas has tied you. Now they have played 3 more games than you have as well. So you have that going for you. The playoff odds are still at 83.3% for the Predators, according to MoneyPuck.com. But I do not like the way they've been playing the last couple of weeks. And my question for you, Joe Rexroad, is it time for concern for this Predators team based on the way that they have looked over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think you're right. Just over, even with some of the wins, you know, for example, the Ottawa win, it wasn't a great game, which John Hines said right afterward. I would say over this stretch, it hasn't been very good. So, concern, yes, understanding that this happens, that you go through certain stretches of ups and downs, and you know, all teams do. I mean, this is what happens in an 82 game season. But I still think, I mean, if you want to talk about concern, I think I'm keeping to and continue to go back to UC Saros. Not that he's like terrible or anything, but he has to be better than fine. He has to be better than pretty good or yep. Good. He has to be. That's like a prerequisite for this team to really do anything. And it's been a decent stretch here for the most part. He's been okay, but he's not quite top sharpness. And there's just some pucks getting past him that you hope don't. And I think it starts there. And I hear you. Like, it's how do you just basically just – not really get much going at Buffalo, which, by the way, has had a lot of big wins lately.
They have.
It looked like the other night, like they were like celebrating their own playoff series win with that victory. So it wasn't your typical, you know, a game against a team near the bottom of the standings, but that is concerning that you don't get much going in a game that's so important to you that you fought back at one point to tie. But I still think it's Saros more than you start there and then go to everything else.
Well, and, you know, the big part of this also is you look at the schedule that you've got coming up. You got Minnesota tomorrow, which is going to be a huge game here. You're at Ottawa on Thursday, and then it's Florida and Pittsburgh back-to-back this weekend before you get into a stretch of, you know, Edmonton, St. Louis, Calgary twice, another game with Minnesota, Tampa, Colorado. Like, there's a ton of games left that are very, very challenging when you look at the standings right now. I mean, look, I say the Minnesota game is huge. I mean, right now they're 9 points up on you with the same amount of games played. So I don't really know that catching Minnesota at this point is really all that realistic anymore. But you look at the standings, like, you got to find a way to win some of these games because your quality of competition coming down the stretch is really, really high. And that's why I think the loss to Buffalo stings a little bit more. Is you look at the schedule, you may need every point you can get coming down the stretch here if you're the Predators. And to let two of them slide by like that against Buffalo wasn't good. Look, like you said, Buffalo's been playing well as of late. They've taken down Toronto. They've taken down Pittsburgh. They've taken down a bunch of really good teams in the East over there. So I'm not going to – they beat Calgary. I mean, they beat a lot of really good teams as of late. So Buffalo is playing much better. But with a playoff spot on the line coming down the stretch, I just didn't see much push out of the Predators on Friday, and that was disappointing.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, Minnesota, it's a huge game just because every game is huge, but it's against a really good team. I mean, Minnesota is, you know, they're still fighting St. Louis, you know, for second place and home ice in the first round. Yeah, it would take something pretty amazing for the Preds to end up catching them. But I mean, that's the thing, Minnesota. I mean, what are they, 9-0-1 of the last 10?
Yeah,
I mean, they're absolutely tearing it up. But that's just that's the thing. You get that game becomes it's a lot harder game. You can't afford to not get your 2 points in that game when you blow a game against Buffalo, you know. And most of these good teams that you're playing down the stretch too, they have stakes. I mean, Florida, you know, they're fighting for the one seed in the East with Carolina. So, I mean, they've got big incentive. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh is in there trying to get home ice in the first round. It's either them or the Rangers probably. What a series that'll be in the first round. So, I mean, there's a lot of really good teams fighting for a lot. They're going to be very difficult games to win, and that's why you have, what, one more game left on the schedule where maybe that's good, I guess. You could look at it that way. You know, one more game against a team that just is playing out the string. Well, maybe you have Chicago, too, one more time, right?
Yep.
Maybe it's good. You know, if you're playing, you know, better teams that are there's no chance of weirdness. It's just like these are huge games. It's a playoff push. Consider this to be just like the playoffs. But the bottom line is they just have to play better, and you have to hope that UC Soros gets back to maximum sharpness.
Well, now we're talking two games in a row now where there's not been a point from Roman Josi, which is incredible. Like, there can't be too many games this year where he's gone through a two-game stretch and not put up a point. And I'm not saying that, like, that's the reason that they've been struggling as of late, but I mean, that just kind of...
There's your issue.
Yeah, they had 59. Take him out. Put him on the waiver wire. But
maybe third parent.
Yeah,
maybe,
flat know? Him down. Yeah. 10 minutes a night. No more. But it's just, it's one of those things, too. Like, we've talked about it. Like, Forsberg's been scoring. Duchesne's been scoring. Josi's been playing at an elite level. And they're still, like, they need all of it just to be in the spot that they're in right now, which is a wild card spot, you know, holding on to the playoffs. Like, if you don't have it, like, if Forsberg and Duchesne slow down, and I know that Forsberg scored on Friday and Duchesne had a couple of points, but, like, I didn't think they were all that threatening 5-on-5. Like, if those guys slow down and Roman Josi slows down a little bit, like, they've been so good all year and you're in a wild card spot. What does that mean if they're not quite as good coming down the stretch? And it's interesting to think about, especially when you combine it with Soros, as you pointed out, which really it's – you go back to the All-Star break, his numbers have not been all that great.
Well, you just described a non-playoff team.
Yeah.
Now, they may have done the work to, you know, to still get in, but they certainly could still be on the other side of it. I mean, would you say 83%? What is that, money puck?
Yeah, money puck, 83%.
So that's at least a 10% drop in a week, right?
Yeah. A week in which they won 2 out of 3 games.
There you go. That team with everything else, I mean, basically, again, the most consistent elements of this team have been, you know, those two forwards, Josi, the Herd line, and the Herd line. And now with Soros kind of struggling, you know, you can take him off the list. When he was first half, Saros. This was a team that was, I mean, remember, they were one in the West for a minute.
Yeah.
They were certainly fighting to have home ice in the playoffs, and now you're talking about absolutely scrapping at the very bottom of the list to get in. So it's not great. And if that does happen, if you do see a slowdown with these top guys who have been dragging this team along throughout the season, I don't have a lot of confidence that there's enough to compensate for that in this forward group.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How concerned are you about the way the Predators have been playing the last couple of weeks? 615-737-1025. The final night of this crazy college basketball season is here, and FanDuel Sportsbook giving new customers a $150 instant bonus guaranteed. That's right, you'll get $150 in bonus site credit, and all you have to do is place your first bet of $5 or more. How you bet the championship game is up to you. You can choose from the money line, totals, prop bets, and so much more. North Carolina taking on Kansas. It's been an incredible run for North Carolina, Hubert Davis and company, but I think it comes to an end tonight. I think Kansas is the more talented team. I think they have what it takes to get it done. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you join FanDuel today with promo code ROB. Then you can place your bet of $5 to score $150 in bonus site credit guaranteed. Once again, that promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Tough loss for the Predators on Friday. They fall 4-3 at the hands of the Buffalo Sabres. Taking your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the Predators, make sure you stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April the 16th. Also, don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're in there. You must be 18 to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. Joe, it's an interesting week here for the Predators, taking on Minnesota tomorrow in a big game at Bridgestone Arena, then on the road for one game against an Ottawa team that gave you some fits last week, even though you ended up winning the game 4-1, and then a back-to-back this weekend with Florida and Pittsburgh at home against Florida coming up on Saturday at 5 o'clock, on the road against Pittsburgh on Sunday at 3 o'clock. I mean, there's a heck of a stretch coming up for the Predators. Now, the good news is you fast forward to next week as well, and even though you have San Jose, Edmonton, Chicago, St. Louis, Calgary, they're all in a row. They're all at home. It's a five-game homestand coming up for the Predators, you know, after this week. So it is an interesting part of the schedule in terms of the quality of competition. Got a lot of home games coming up, though. Only Ottawa, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Colorado, and Arizona are on the road left to close out the season. So going to be a lot of hockey at Bridgestone Arena for the Predators, and they've got to take advantage of that. Now, the interesting part about that is they've been a pretty good road team this year, and they've been decent at home. This is a chance for you to up that home record a little bit as well.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, can the atmosphere get a little bit of a bump, you know? I would say it hasn't been vintage, absolute best, top shelf atmosphere a lot of nights in there. It's still been very good, but does that get a bump? Does that get cranked up a bit because it's the playoff chase? I mean, certainly got some really appealing, you know, you get Florida, which might be the best team.
Yeah.
You got your division rivals like Minnesota and St. Louis. Calgary's really good. They come in twice. And of course you got Mick, what's his name too?
McMuffin.
We'll be passing through. You said it, not me. What did Subban used to call him?
I think he called him McJesus.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Did Subban make that up? Did he come up with that?
I don't think he made that up, but that's very popular now in the NHL with him.
Yes.
He's pretty good. Yes.
He's all right, yeah.
April in Portland texting in on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, UC has been okay lately, but not great. I thought he played well in Buffalo. It could have been way worse. The D pairs have not done well as of late. We need Boro and Fabro back ASAP. The entire team has been atrocious defensively the last 2 weeks. Turnovers are killing us. The Preds play worse against bad teams and play phenomenal against good teams. So I'm hoping that's the way they are down the stretch. Yossi for Norris. This is coming from April from Portland on the text line.
Yeah, that's Are they phenomenal? They have had a lot of good performances. I mean, they've probably had too many performances against bad teams this year, and they've definitely had some notable, really good performances against top teams. So maybe it is good. Maybe you'd prefer to play good teams. Whether you would or not, that's what you've got. So here you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's the table that's set for you at this point. And to April's point, like, I do think, like, they need to be healthy defensively, because right now, I mean, they've just got guys playing not in the right spot. Like, you've got Carrier up with Yossi, and they've got Lozon playing, you know, with Ekholm in the top four right now. Like, they need Fabro back, especially to kind of get guys back on the right seat of the bus, as Barry Trotz used to say. Like, you got to get the right pieces playing in the right spots. And, you know, it's not all on the defensemen. Like, I still think for the most part, 5-on-5, they've been okay defensively. Their penalty kill has gone in the tank as of late. And, you know, we've talked about how many penalties they've taken all year long. Like, that's a problem when you can't kill those off. And, you know, Borowiecki's obviously very important to that. They need him back. You need Fabro back to eat up some of those minutes with Yossi. I think if you get Fabro back, you're probably putting him back with Yossi, and then you're putting Carrier back with Ekholm, and things start to look a lot better at that point. But right now, they have been a little bit of a mess at times, especially with the turnovers. Like, the defensive zone, I still don't – like, they're not getting picked apart in the defensive zone 5-on-5, I don't think. But the turnovers with the puck are a problem, and they're not good enough to overcome those type of mistakes. If you're a Tampa, you can get away with that a little bit more. If you're the Predators, you got to make sure you're taking care of the puck. And that's been very hit or miss as of late.
Why do you think the penalty kill is struggling?
They're probably tired. I don't know. Like, just
just because they're heavy usage?
Yeah, just going – I mean, you know, you're 68 games into the season. You've been taking penalties all year. I don't know. Like, it's one of those – look, and, you know, Borowiecki is a big part of that. You know, you're just now getting Benning back in there. He's been a big part of the penalty kill. You know, so there are reasons for it, and sometimes you just go through lulls when you're out there that much. It's hard to be on top of your game at the penalty kill all the time. But, you know, special teams, their power play still is pretty good. Like, and we know how important special teams is as you get into the playoffs. Like, they've got to find a way to shore that up. And I get it. Like, there's this idea out there from fans that, well, don't worry. Like, playoff time comes around, they don't call penalties in the playoffs anymore, which is – I get it. They're a little bit more relaxed on the whistle in the playoffs. They will still call penalties in the playoffs. And many times, the difference in who advances in the playoffs and who doesn't is how do you execute on special teams. And that's got to get better for the Predators right now on the penalty kill side of things. Power play, I still feel pretty good about if I'm the Preds.
And as for Yossi for Norris, April, can't have those massive stretches of two games in a row without points.
Yeah.
Is he off the 100-point pace? That's the thing, though. That pace is such a hard pace to follow, you know, to maintain. He needs a 5-pointer here.
Yeah. I got a texture that says, Forsberg doesn't sign at the trade deadline, and the team is now in a slump. The players know he'll be gone after the season. It's been a letdown to the team because it's a tight team with players being selfish. Yes, it's a business, and they all know, but the move likely stings. There are injuries, but that doesn't look like the issue over the past few games, which are more about bad starts. Bad starts are team dynamics and not injuries. These are unintended circumstances of his actions. If he really wants to stay here, he needs to ink the deal now and hope that they can pull out of this in the 11th hour. So Philip Forsberg not signing the contract apparently is just totally destroyed the Predators coming down the stretch.
So first of all, that I've never seen Forsberg spelled Forfsberg, but I kind of like that. So here's the thing on all that. If Forsberg, if they actually know, like if Forsberg is actually let them know, yeah, guys, let's enjoy this time together because I'm somewhere else.
Which he is not, actually, by the
way. Right. Like, but that's like I could buy then there being some correlation between the trading deadline, lack of news, and the current play. But there's no indication that that's what has happened. And I highly, highly, highly doubt that's what's happened. So I think we're talking about a coincidence here. I don't think this team, I mean, look, all these guys want Forsberg, all these guys who are around this team are going to be here next year. They want Forsberg back, right? Unless there's some personal issue we don't know about with somebody who really wants him to move on and get the heck out of here.
Really don't like that mustache.
Yeah, could be, could be. But I don't think it's going to, you know, cause them to play poorly because they're worried about it. I mean, you know, everybody's got their own thing. Everybody knows contract stuff happens in this league, and it's certainly possible that Forsberg will sign at any point. So I don't, I think you're tying things together that don't really belong together.
Well, and to that point, you know, if they get down the stretch here and they keep playing this way, you know, making the playoffs is going to be a challenge just based on the schedule that they have. You get all the way through this and there's no contract for Forsberg and there's no playoffs to show for it either. That's when you're going to see people, number one, start to freak out, and number two, start to be pretty mad of how things have played out here. So, look, there is some pressure on this team to make the playoffs with Philip Forsberg. Like, until he signed his contract, it's always going to be in the back of your mind, if you're a player, a fan, whoever, that there's a chance he may not be here next year. Now, it's been quiet on that front since the deadline. We'll see what happens with Forsberg. But there is, until he signed on that dotted line, there is some pressure on that front coming down the stretch here.
Oh yeah. You think about that scenario, and all of a sudden they're out of the playoffs and no Forsberg signed. And I guess basically everybody will like turn and like look at David Poyle and say, "You again!" And here come the pitchforks out. Just turn around and like run down the street, and the entire Predators fan base is chasing him through the streets of Nashville.
You again.
We're mad at you again, David Poyle.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It's time for you to know your numbers. If you answer correctly, you'll qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Arca Menard NASCAR Infinity Series doubleheader coming up on Saturday, April 23rd, and a pair of tickets to the Geico 500 on Sunday, April 24th as well. Hit up our text line for the answer to today's question. It features all former drivers. Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s number 3, plus Dale Jr.'s number 8, plus Matt Kenseth's number 17 equals this Alabama driver. Again, Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s number 3, Dale Jr.'s number 8, Matt Kenseth's number 17 equals this Alabama driver. If you know the answer, hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Our winner will be contacted on Friday after the show is over. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Nashville Sounds start their season tomorrow with a 6-game homestand at First Horizon Park against the Durham Bulls. You can catch all the action on Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 tomorrow night, starting with a pregame show with Jeff Hem at 6:20 and first pitch at 6:35. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, Spirited Hive, and Days Delta 8. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got the Rex rant coming up at 7:45. I am very much looking forward to Joe Rexroad's rant of the week coming up here in just about 15 minutes. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, the A.J. Brown rumors continue to be out there, and Rich Cimini from ESPN putting it out there in a blog post on ESPN yesterday, talking about DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown, and could the New York Jets be looking to make a splashy move at the wide receiver position? And in the article, it says, quote, "The hot names are Seattle Seahawks DK Metcalf and Tennessee Titans A.J. Brown, both of whom only have 1 year left on their rookie contracts and are up for mega extensions. The Jets, the receiver market has exploded in recent weeks, prompting Seahawks general manager John Schneider to express some sticker shop." It later goes on to say in this article, says, quote, "It takes two to tango, and the Seahawks are telling teams that Metcalf isn't available, a source said. Brown is the name to watch, as mentioned 2 weeks ago, because of the Titans' tight salary cap situation. This coming from Rich Samini on ESPN. So what do you make of A.J. Brown's name continuing to be tossed out there by Rich Samini here from ESPN of maybe a trade target for the Jets? And obviously, we talked last week, John Robinson been very vocal about wanting to sign A.J. Brown. What do you make of all this coming out of New York about A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf?
See, so first of all, Rich Samini, very good reporter, has been doing it a long time. So, you know, I think things that have to do with the Jets, you have to take it seriously. What I want when I read this is, okay, so you've got a source that is telling you that basically that Seattle's probably unlikely, right? Seahawks are telling teams Metcalf isn't available. Okay. Then you go to Brown is the name to watch, as mentioned 2 weeks ago, because of the Titans tight cap situation. But I'm not getting a Brown is the name to watch because the Titans are actually interested in even having this discussion.
Right.
Like it comes short of that. So I guess my read on this, and this is all speculation, but it's speculation based on being old and being in this business a long time. It sounds like the Jets are hopeful, but I don't see anything in this that, yeah, you know, like the Jets are hopeful and the Jets are looking at Tennessee as a more likely or more possible trade partner, but I'm not getting anything here that suggests that the Titans have any interest at all in even engaging in this. Now, if you have a source that says the Seahawks are like saying, forget it, and you don't have the source saying the same thing about the Titans, and then okay, then the Titans are relative to the Seahawks more likely. But just because the Titans aren't saying, forget it, off the table. I mean, if I'm John Robinson, I'm certainly, again, on anything just about, I'm going to take a phone call. Okay, what do you have? What do you want to talk about here? Meanwhile, you have A.J. Brown on Twitter, like, I'm tired of this too, or whatever he said. Yeah. Like, what was his tweet? Like, I'm sick of this too.
Yeah, he said last night, quote, tired of all this, just like y'all, end quote, from A.J. Yeah. Brown.
I saw some, like, Titans fans like, well, we know you're not getting traded, and we're sick of it too. It's like, well, hold on. You don't know. But ultimately, when I look at this whole situation, I think it's going to end up just being one of those – the Jets were hopeful. The Jets were hoping something would happen, and nothing happened. I can't buy that the Titans are going to consider doing this. It would, to me, I'm taking all the calls on John Robinson, but I better have something on the other end that makes my eyes go like, whoa, what are you offering to even consider this?
Well, it just makes no sense from the Titans. Like, you talk about being in a tight salary cap spot, and I get it. Like, I guess the Titans are still in a tight salary cap spot, but A.J. Brown is 24 years old, and he is, if he's not already your best offensive player, which most people I think would still say that belongs to Derrick Henry, he will be your best offensive player someday. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, unless A.J. Brown's asking for, you know, $33 million a year, like, it's difficult for me to imagine the Titans even entertaining anything like this right now at this point. Like, there's so much time left to figure this out with A.J. Brown and his contract that this just seems like a pipe dream from the Jets part of it. That's kind of my read on the situation.
I agree. And let's remember who we're talking about here. Okay. The Jets have not exactly been the most savvy,
they have not.
team in the league the last few years in terms of, choosing players, trying to make deals, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, look, I guess I could look at this and say, okay, so from the Jets' perspective, the door isn't closed. But again, I'd keep the phone lines open. I mean, if you're in this business, but I can't believe this is even going to get to the point of a serious discussion about moving A.J. Brown. I mean, it's very difficult. You can have all the picks in the world, and it's very difficult to find a player as good as he is. And when you have one, you know, you find a way to keep that player. And as far as the cap stuff, you know, the cap's going to go up. And as we know, the cap is real, but the cap is manipulatable, which is not a word at all. The cap can be manipulated. We know this. And if AJ Brown comes in like mid-20s, to me, that's probably about right. And maybe he doesn't, maybe he's not thinking that way, but I think that's where it's going to end up. And I think that's about right on both sides of this.
Well, Dintre Estes from the Tennessean has put up a nice piece on this at the Tennessean doc, or excuse me, at Tennessean.com that I'm kind of reading through right now. But the tweet that Gentry put out is, quote, "The offseason rumor mill seems to love AJ Brown, but so do the Titans. Trading a 24-year-old who's already among the best wide receivers in the game is not what I'd call a winning strategy for any team, and certainly not a team doing a lot of winning lately." So it seems like there's a whole lot of just throwing AJ Brown's name out there because he's not signed an extension yet at this point. But the Titans have made it pretty clear. I mean, we talked about it, and there were people asking, like, okay, why is John Robinson not, you know, been as strong about Jeffrey Simmons with some of his comments and some other things? I mean, A.J. Brown, and I think the fifth-year option that Jeffrey Simmons brings to the table is part of it too. A.J. Brown obviously doesn't have that, but Jeffrey Simmons right now is not in trade rumors being tossed out there either, like A.J. Brown is. So I think that's probably your answer.
Right, and again, from the Jets' perspective, this makes sense. You're talking about where he is in his timeline with his contract,
sure,
where the Titans are against the cap, the fact that the Jets, of course, as we know, the Jets were – they're sitting there that day. Come on, Tyreek, choose us, choose us, choose us. We're the Jets. And he went to South Florida instead. Shocking. So they're out there fishing. They're out there trying to find someone. I don't blame them. I don't blame them for trying. And if they feel better about the Titans and the Seahawks, okay. But they shouldn't feel good about it. I can't believe that this is going to get to the point of a serious discussion. I guess if the Titans, couple things. One, if the Titans figure out that AJ Brown is like, no, it's like $32 million a year or nothing.
Yeah.
Or if the Titans were moving toward a rebuild, which of course can happen very fast in this league, well, that's one thing. That's a different situation. But as Gentry said there, they're winning right now. They're still coming off the number one seed in the AFC, great chance to win their division for a third year in a row. So you keep your good football players.
Well, and if it gets to the point where AJ Brown's available, there'll be a whole lot of teams in addition to the New York Jets that are going to come calling. I can promise you that.
Right. And so again, hey, phone lines are open. So Jets are offering this. Who's offering what? I mean, you know, you field all the calls and consider it. But it would have to be, to me, like, it would have to be like irreconcilable gap in what these sides are thinking on his contract for this to ever really get serious.
Coming next, it's time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rex Rhodes Rant of the Week. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week. Time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's Rant of the Week. A nice Blink 182 cover band bringing us back in with some Journey. Good stuff. What a combo that is.
Okay. Wait, so that's not Blink 182?
It's not. It's a cover band.
Who is it?
I don't know who they are, but I've seen this video. They're pretty good.
So wait, like they actually sell themselves as a Blink 182 cover band?
It was like a Facebook video. I don't know if this is their full-time thing.
And they did Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Yeah, they did. As Blink 182.
Good Lord. Okay.
I love that song.
Yeah, good version.
You like that version of that song?
I like the normal version. I like that version.
Yeah.
That's not my thing. Okay.
I absolutely love it, Joe. How does it make you feel?
It makes me feel, well, it's fine. I mean, it's fine. You know, you're trying to take over our show today. You called this show Campbell and Knezovic.
You did.
You have the six. I mean, you have two shows on this station. We only have one.
The six.
You know, this is basically a hostile takeover by Michelle that we're in the middle of right now.
Just going to sit here and let it happen. It's all good, I guess. She's unable to speak at the moment because she's laughing. So with that in mind, Joe Rexroad, your rant of the week.
And again, Ryan Porth kept the mic open.
See, Ryan's like a hyena, yeah. And I just sound like I'm breathing heavy because I laugh and I'm like...
Michelle's passing out in there.
All right, here's my rant. So I'm driving home late Saturday night, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, game two. Tennessee beat Vanderbilt, by the way, in case anyone missed it. They won all three games.
Yes, they did.
I get a low tire pressure alert, and it's like bing, bing. It's like 28, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's 22, and it's 16. You love technology. It used to be that you just would start blowing up on the road, and you'd be trying to keep your car on the road. So I had to get off the highway real fast, got off. I pulled off. It's very close to where we live, but it's an emergency room parking lot. I called AAA, because, we're members. We've been members for 20 years, and frankly, I haven't changed a tire in a long time. So I was like, okay, I can sit here and write in my car and do it while I wait. The operator's great, as always, as I'm used to. I mean, it's been a long time, but whenever we've had to go to AAA, they've been very good. The service is on the way within an hour, but she tells me it should be less than that. So I give it about an hour, 10 minutes. I call back. I get the same operator, and she's stunned. She's like, wait a minute. Okay, let me be right back. She comes back a few minutes later and says, okay, the tow truck operator heard 518 on the area code for your phone. Not
That's my area code.
Really?
Yeah, upstate New York, baby.
It's not the right direction.
No, but so if someone says 517, how could you possibly hear 518?
I don't know. How would that be? I don't know.
Also, apparently the driver said that he showed up and called. And I can tell you, he did not show up. There was no one. He did not show up. He did not call. Oh, I heard 518. Okay. Okay, but now he's on the way, I'm told. And again, the operator's great. She's just like hoping this gets done. Okay. So finally, 40 minutes later, I'm like, okay, I mean, I need to get like sleep today. So I get a lift and go home and go to sleep. Okay. And then I wake up and there's like a message from this, the tow truck guy. Thanks a lot. You were going to come at 4 a.m. So on Sunday, I get it all figured out, get the donut on, the tire's shredded by a chunk of metal, so it's toast. Good times. But shout out to Dustin, who did a great job. Appreciate you, Dustin. Meanwhile, as a 20-year member, I figure I should at least be reimbursed for the lift, right? I mean, I think that's fair. So I call an operator. He starts taking all the information. Then he decides, okay, I need to go talk to someone else. Okay, wait about 10 minutes. Everybody's been in the phone trees. Sure. it can eat at your soul. And then someone gets online and said, hello, Mr. Rexroad. So you are a resident of Colorado, right? I'm like, no, I live in Tennessee. I mean, my information is in the system. So he's all confused. He said, oh, sorry. We have to get someone who deals with Tennessee residents on reimbursements. So I'm like, wait a minute. So in these situations, you have to go state by state. You have to talk to a specific person for a specific state. Like, we can't have a blanket policy of people with this kind of, like, you get reimbursed if service doesn't come. Like, you have to, okay, all right, wait another 10 minutes. On the phone, another 10 minutes. So now I get a woman. Apparently, she deals with Tennessee residents. She hears my story for a third time. She says, okay, hold on. I'm going to have to transfer you to someone else. Before I can protest, I'm on hold. And then about 15 seconds later, bing, dial tone.
Oh, yeah.
So at this time, at this point, I'm out of time. I got to go to Tennessee Vanderbilt. They played again yesterday. Tennessee won again, by the way. I know a lot of people can relate to this exact experience I just described. We've all been through this, okay? Where you keep getting transferred to people. You don't get the answer you want to hear. You hear something that's just bizarre, and then you get hung up on, okay? And frankly, I think after it happened to me yesterday, I think this is why there are a lot of angry people in the world. I think that actually, I think that this is underrated in why there are a lot of angry people in the world. And do you know what else there is in the world? Competitors of AAA who are about to get a look from me.
There you go. I like the 20 years, no further.
I'm just saying. If you're going to call out a company, you may as well like, throw a threat out there, right. Too, you know?
Who even is AAA's competitor, though?
Oh, they exist.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
I'm researching that today. Thank you for asking. I'll get back to you on that.
Neil on the text line says, first world problems. Joe can't change a tire. I knew that was coming from somebody.
I know. No, I knew that was coming. But listen, first of all, these new things, I bet you in my life I've changed four tires. That's not bad.
That's awesome, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, but with these,
I've changed four tires this past year because I keep hitting stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm a terrible driver.
You pay for this service. We have three drivers in the family now, and if the guy's got the equipment to make it take 10 seconds. Like, I'm sorry, you know? You're right. I mean, I'll take the crap for it, and I deserve it, but like, if we pay for it, then I'm going to spend this time doing work, and then it should be pretty seamless and painless, you know? But I knew that was coming, and frankly, I accept it. I accept your insults.
They've got these, you know, they come up and help you, these heavy-duty jack stands, man. You can pump that thing up quick. Me, I'm sitting here just cranking on the ground with my feet hanging out into traffic. It's good stuff.
It's not great. That's the thing. You know, Dustin showed up yesterday, and it was serious. Like, thank you. All right. It was like 10 seconds. Like, it would have been an hour of hell.
It's like a NASCAR pit crew. Like,
oh, yeah.
I also popped a tire, Joe. Nuts, you know. And I had to do the whole AAA thing, too. It's kind of a nightmare. But at least you didn't have groceries in your car. And I was running with my groceries to a gas station and put them in the ice freezer thing. If that makes you feel any better.
Yeah.
Wait, you went to the gas station and put them in like the ice thing?
Yes.
That's outstanding.
My mom just like stocked me up on, we went to Walmart big haul for the apartment. This is the first week I moved to Nashville and we went into the gas station. We're like, we popped the tire, yada, yada, all this stuff. We're waiting for AAA. Can we put our groceries in the thing? They said no, but we did it anyway. My mom's like, oh no, we're putting the groceries in there. We just spent $100 on all this food. We're not letting it go to waste. So yeah, we did that. And then we ran and got our groceries once the tire was fixed.
There you go.
I feel like if your mom wants a red rant, that's some. We need to get your mom on it for a mom red rant.
DJ from Nolensville texting in says Joe should have called Stillman for help. That's a great mental image of Stillman helping you change your tire. You think he can change a tire?
Jared, do you have a ladder? Jared was in Minnesota watching Louisville lose.
He was.
Louisville.
Call him. Louisville lose.
Nate on the text line says, I'm sorry, Joe, not your best rant. Practice changing tires so this doesn't happen. This is coming from Nate on the text line. A lot of people taking a shot at you not changing your own tire.
Hey, look, now look, maybe instead of a competitor, it's time to just not pay for this, even though, you know, you got kids out there and stuff, and I think that there's, you know, a certain level of security that you have. Maybe that's the answer. Stop paying for this stuff and just change, you know, and that could do it. But again, if you are paying for it, which we are, then it should come into play when it comes into play. Am I wrong?
I agree. Frank,
you should actually take advantage of what you're paying for.
Frank on the text line says, just get the AAA app and forget talking to a human. This is coming from Frank on the text line. Maybe so. Maybe that's the solution.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like, and maybe that is the way to go, but I think maybe this is a problem. Maybe I'm a little boomerish here, but I feel like actually speaking to someone, again, the operator, she was really sympathetic and she felt terrible about this. And she was like, I'm going to find someone as fast as possible. I just feel like on the app, you don't get that. Now, maybe.
Joe, the app is where to go because they can pinpoint you where you are. And if they have your phone number wrong, it doesn't matter because your phone number's on the app.
On the app. I was going to say on the app, you can read the number. So there can't be like some like verbal transfer.
That's actually so weird that's my area code.
It is weird. Also, remember we had a guest that you thought was 615, but his area code is 616, which is West Michigan.
Yeah. And I was typing it in the wrong. I'm like, he's not answering. And I just kept typing it in wrong.
I got a text that says, can we please keep the week long rants going? please. Stay tuned. See what
Are
happens.
Are we doing that this week?
We might be. If the people want it, we'll deliver.
You're not willing to commit to it right now?
If the people want us to do to do a rant every day, by golly, we'll do a rant every day.
Should we do
a show for the people? We're the only show in town that will do this for the people.
That's right.
This has been the Rex Rant here on this Monday morning. Joe, better luck with your tire as you move forward here.
Yeah, now it's now you get into the new phase of, oh, no, you're going to need a complete set. You know, yeah, that's the next thing.
Whole thing.
Oh, no, yeah. No, you're going to need an entire set. And I would get a whole set here, not just the one tire.
That's right.
That's coming up next.
There's no question.
Well, they got me with that one about 2 months ago. Oh, so. Yeah.
My answer to that is always, no, I don't. Thanks, though. Appreciate you.
I'm good.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the NCAA tournament as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.